You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The federal government rejected one of Idaho's requests for a waiver for Medicaid expansion late last week. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services said the state's application did not provide enough information for the department to evaluate that waiver. The waiver involved an option for low-income Idahoans who qualify for Medicaid under the expansion to instead stay on the state's health insurance exchange. The department went on to say that even if Idaho revised its application, the federal agency could not approve the waiver because it would not comply with guardrails in the federal law. Governor Little, Senate Pro Tem Brent Hill, and House Speaker Scott Bedke issued a joint statement calling the decision, quote, disappointing and surprising. However, proponents of Medicaid expansion say the rejection is good for Idaho. Joining us live in studio to talk more about this are Liz Woodruff, she is the coordinator for Close the Gap, and Idaho State Representative Melissa Wintrow. And we should note that coming up on Thursday, we will be speaking live with Senate Pro Tem Brent Hill to get his side of the story on this. First, though, welcome to my guest today.
Thank you so much.
So, Liz, I want to start with you. Just explain exactly what this particular waiver was asking.
The state of Idaho directed the Department of Health and Welfare and Department of Insurance to request a waiver to allow people between 100 and 138% federal poverty. So people who right now are technically covered by Medicaid expansion, but many are on the exchange already. It asked them to allow those people to stay on the exchange if they so chose to do so. Now, doing that would cost people more money, and it would be a lesser benefit than Medicaid. So while it makes sense theoretically to have a choice for people, it really wasn't a good choice to allow people to stay on the exchange since it would cost them more to do so.
And Melissa, being a part of the Joint Finance Appropriations Committee, numbers-wise, what does that look like?
Well, Gemma, when the leadership made a statement, they were surprised and disappointed. I can understand them being disappointed, but surprised, that surprises me because it wasn't a surprise. And in fact, in the Appropriation Finance Committee, I made a motion to have an accurate fiscal note. And based on all the numbers and what Liz just told you, it would be about $42 million annually. Additionally, so that's what the feds are responding to. A waiver has to be net neutral, budget neutral, and this would cost an additional $42 million just from the state side of it. So obviously the federal government's not going to approve that.
So what does this mean for Idahoans at this point who are looking to have this expansion into Medicaid, Liz?
People are going to be able to start to enroll in coverage starting in November with regular open enrollment on November 1. Coverage will begin for this full expansion population all the way to 138% of federal poverty on January 1, 2020. So this rejection of Idaho's waiver doesn't affect people's ability to enroll in coverage. Medicaid is an excellent benefit, and people can begin to be covered in January.
So Representative Wintrow, this went back and forth in the legislature. A lot of heated debate around this. What do you feel, from your perspective, were the sticking points for some of your colleagues who didn't want to see this go through?
Well, you know, Gemma, we've seen for how many years now, 4 or 5, maybe even 6, that the legislature would not expand Medicaid, even though it was in the best interests of our citizens, health-wise as well as fiscally responsible, because most of these folks have been going to the emergency rooms, and we know that just costs much more money. Preventive health care is the way to go. So we saw citizens take to the streets and door knock and get signatures to get that on the ballot and force the legislature to do what it wouldn't do, and that was to expand Medicaid. Mm-hmm. So then the legislature obviously was not pleased entirely with that and really fought on how what sideboards, quote unquote, would go on it, what restrictions and how much money would actually go into it. I have to tell you, I'm just kind of at a loss because, you know, in my third term as a legislator, I continue to hear my colleagues talk about fiscal responsibility, and I have yet to see it. Especially if we can't create an accurate fiscal note. I mean, it's as if people are willfully walking over to the toilet, looking me in the eye, taking the wad of money and flushing it down. That waiver that was just rejected cost us $500,000 just to apply for it. just to apply for it. The appropriation we made just to get started in our process comes to a grand total of $2.8 million. And I bet you it's more than that because it adds 13 staff just to monitor these people to make sure they get the reporting done and other things and to write the waivers. So I saw a fiscal note for the bill earlier that had the waiver that was denied that that we know, the budget analyst looked at it, it was $42 million annually. They estimated that would save us $3 and $5 million. Obviously, the feds didn't agree. So I'm struggling with all the fiscal notes. But, you know, right now we have appropriated $2.8 million to get the ball rolling, but that may not be what it costs. So
we're speaking with Liz Woodruff. She's coordinator for Close the Gap, as well as Idaho State Representative Melissa Wintrow. We're talking about the waiver that was rejected by the federal government late last week regarding Medicaid expansion here in Idaho. And we do want you to know that coming up on Thursday's program of Idaho Matters, we will be speaking with Senate Pro Tem Brent Hill. He and Governor Little, as well as Scott Bedke, did do a joint statement saying that they were surprised and also disappointed by this rejection. So we really want to get their side of this issue as well. And but Liz, from your perspective, what is it like for people who have been huge proponents of Medicaid expansion, and then our legislators, some of them, come in and say, wait, we're going to see about putting sideboards. We're going to see about, you know, making it not necessarily look like what was passed on the ballot?
Well, the people of Idaho were very decisive last November when over 61% said that they wanted clean Medicaid expansion. They wanted their friends and neighbors that were in the coverage gap to have access to affordable health coverage. So, yes, it's very frustrating to see the legislature pass policies that are going to not only cost the state more money, mitigate the savings available to the county and the state in terms of uncompensated care, but also harm the people that the voters said they wanted to help. So, for example, the next waiver up is the work requirement waiver, so-called work requirement waiver. But what it actually is a paperwork restriction that puts barriers to coverage and paperwork for people to report monthly costs to the state, which could lead to over 20,000 people who the voters wanted to have health coverage losing health coverage, not because they aren't working, but because they're not able to report their hours effectively, or they're not aware that they need to report those hours. So it's frustrating to see the voters have passed a solution and then see our legislature create more problems that aren't necessary.
And I, you know, the other thing that dawns me as Liz describes that, it feels like they're on parole or probation. These folks are working hard and they're already working 2-3 jobs. We know that. To call it a work requirement is redundant. These people are working. This is really about reporting what they're already doing. And if you slip up, if you forget, and you're big time and trying to meet all the needs of your family, et cetera, you could get kicked off of coverage. I mean, it's just inhumane and it's not fiscally responsible.
And let's talk about this waiver some more, because the one rejected last week, there are more waivers that the state is looking at. Liz, you mentioned the work requirement. There is public hearing going on, correct? Because this is part of the process, Representative Wintrow?
That's correct. I mean, honestly, you might as well put, in probation parolees, we have those little collars on there.
Oh, like a,
like,
yeah,
you know, GPS units. We may as well be doing that. I just am in disbelief about it. I know when I first moved in Idaho, I didn't have a full-time job and I was substitute teaching. And at that time, I was making $65 a day. I worked every day. I worked hard. Those kids were amazing. I couldn't afford health coverage. I was stressed every day until I got a full-time job. I don't know what people are doing. It's inhumane. And again, it's not fiscally responsible, because where did I go when I got sick as a substitute teacher caring for other people's kids? I went to the hospital. Cost a lot more money.
And the hearings are taking place here in Boise. The first one is today between 1 and 3 p.m., so just coming up. But the next hearing is this Friday, September 6th, between 1 and 3 p.m. at the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare. And it's very important that people attend the hearings, as well as that they comment. You can do a written comment online. And the reason that's so important is that in the other states that have tried to implement these requirements, all three of those programs have been thrown out in federal court as illegal, most recently New Hampshire in June. And the judge in all three cases cited the comments that came in from the public sharing their concerns about the policy, because Medicaid is not designed to be a work program. It's a health care program. So these kinds of requirements violate the fundamental tenets of Medicaid. And it's important that people have their voices heard. And by doing so, they can protect Medicaid expansion.
Go ahead, Representative.
You know, I guess that's why I'm kind of in disbelief. And I think that really it's up to the citizens of our state to really think about who's representing them. Because once again, folks know, we know what's going to happen. The courts are going to turn it down. But we just keep pressing and we keep throwing tax dollar money down the drain. And we could be using all that money to help fund Medicaid and take care of our folks instead of digging our heels in over principle and ideology and just help each other. I mean, where is the Christian spirit in our state? Just help each other. It will all fall out.
So the thing we should also talk about then, as Liz, you mentioned, is with people showing up and giving testimony, whether it's verbal or written, all of that is then given to a judge who is looking at this, or how does the process work? Because I think sometimes the process seems very daunting and overwhelming, and people also don't believe their voice is going to be heard, so they don't show up.
There is a very established process around an 1115 waiver, which is the kind of waiver that has this work reporting requirement. The first step is a 30-day state comment period. So the Department of Health and Welfare is calling for comments until September 22nd. After that, the department goes back and they take all the public comments, and they're supposed to address those comments in a revision to their application. That application is then submitted to the federal government. Within 2 weeks, the federal government has to declare it as accepted or effective, complete, and then the federal government opens their own 30-day comment period. People should again comment during that 30-day comment period. Once that comment period ends, the federal government then reaches a determination. And this particular kind of waiver, there's no time limit to that. If they approve the waiver, that's when the judge goes back and looks at the record from the comments and can say, you didn't pay attention to what people were saying about the problems with this application, and we're going to throw this out. So litigation comes after that process. It's both important to comment now so that the federal government has the opportunity to see the concerns and hopefully reject the waiver. But in the event that they ignore those concerns, those comments are really important in future litigation.
And that's what we saw, as you said, in New Hampshire, but also in Kentucky, correct?
And Arkansas.
Right. And those both happened in the spring.
Yes, correct. In March.
So I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about this and clarifying kind of the process as well. Want to mention that we will have Senate Pro Tem Brent Hill on the program on Thursday talking about the other side of this and why there are some legislators who believe we should have these waivers in place. So we will get that other side coming up on Thursday. Thank you, though, to both of you. My guest today, Liz Woodruff, coordinator for Close the Gap, and Idaho State Representative Melissa Wintrow. Appreciate your time today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And up next, we learn about a new technique used to treat folks in Idaho with a dangerous heart condition. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.